Let's move to 19, Lake Sharp fishery update. Welcome.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the Commission, Secretary Robley. I'm Bob Hanton. I'm one of the fisheries biologists that work on Lake Sharp, Lake Hawaii. And today I'm going to give you a presentation going over Lake Sharp. Some of the things I'm going to cover, I'm going to look at current walleye trends, some angling pressure, what we experienced last year, along with walleye catch rates, provide a paddlefish update on Lake Sharp, and a quick zebra mussel update too. Lake Sharp, it's the second smallest reservoir on the Missouri River, 81 miles long, 31 feet deep average. We do have some deeper water on the lower end of Lake Sharp, 77 feet. That's on the lower end, 200 miles of shoreline. We do have two bordering tribal partners, Lower Brule Sioux Tribe and Crow Creek Sioux Tribe. And in order to index our adult fish population, we actually use standard gill nets during the month of September. And this is focused on the lower half of Lake Sharp. We actually, the upper half is more riverine flowing water where gill nets don't work effectively to sample the adult fish population. And we actually split that lower end into two halves right in the, at West Bend actually. And those nets are set between 6 and 60 foot in depth. Like I said, we 50 random gill net sets. All the fish are collected from those. We measure, weigh, and then off the game fish, we collect age structures to determine age and growth on those fish. Now, it's pretty obvious Lake Sharp's a long reservoir. I'm saying we're sampling the lower end or lower half of the reservoir. Starting in 2017, we started a scuba survey. This is actually in the tail race below Hawaii Dam, so in Lake Sharp. This scuba survey actually occurs late spring to early fall. We actually have two paired divers that go down. We record a GPS start location. They actually float and count the number of adult fish they see underwater on armbands. If you see in that one picture, there's a white armband that they can keep tallies for the number of species they see. And this is done and they record time, so 20-minute transects. This is the understanding that, you know, we're sampling the lower half of Lake Sharp with gill nets. We wanted to try to fill in the gap in the riverine section, so to speak, where our adult fish look like. And this was another tool we're looking at to get at that. So what did the 2025 gill net survey from September, what did that catch look like for species composition? Primarily driven by walleyes, 39%, and sauger, so about 43% walleye-sauger combination. Second most abundant fish species, channel catfish. Smallmouth bass were third. And then other species were yellow perch, white bass, common carp. The other category is native river fish. They're bigmouth buffalo, smallmouth buffalo, shorthead red horse. And that's what the adult fish composition looked like overall. Our interest and focus, you know, of course, with this reservoir is our walleye population. What we have here is on the left-hand side, the number of walleyes caught per net year across the bottom. And the brown bar indicates the number of 10 to 15 inch walleyes. That light bar is 15 to 20. And then the light blue, which is very thin and you don't see much of a bar, is greater than 20 inch walleyes. Lake Sharp is primarily smaller sizes walleyes, but it is a walleye factory. It is a unique resource. And we don't see a lot of bigger walleyes. Some of that's driven by the prey base. We have a seasonal gizzard shad prey base, meaning that we have the adults out there, they reproduce, provide food, but each year during the winter events, we lose most of those little gizzard shad. And that's the food that drives this system. That's not great for big walleyes, but it's perfect for 10 to 15 inch and 15 to 20 inch walleyes. And it is a walleye, and it has good reproduction. So this is a walleye factory. Taking a little closer look at the sizes of walleyes in Lake Sharp, left-hand side is the number of walleyes per net. The yellow bar is 15 inch and larger walleyes. The reason that's important is we have a 15 inch minimum length limit, 10 months out of the year. So walleyes need to be 15 inches and larger to keep. We take that length limit off during July and August when water temps come up and hook and release mortality goes up. That allows anglers to keep those smaller size fish. When we looked at this, this is from our gillnet surveys. This is in September, so this is after the walleye fishing season. Most of our walleye harvest occurs in April, May, and June. We still had 25% of our walleyes that were 15 inches and larger. And you'll note that those light bars right below that yellow mark are our future walleyes to come that'll grow into that 15-inch mark. You know, I mentioned that we started that tailray scuba survey. So that top chart there indicates in 2017 when we started that, we actually keep track also the number of walleyes of per kilometer, per distance that we count during that scuba survey. For comparison, I've got the gillnet, the number of walleyes caught in the gillnet in the lower chart there. You'll note in 2018 and 2019 that scuba survey counts on those walleyes shot way up. And you also note on the lower graph in 2018, 2019, our gillnet catches appeared to be going down. So that survey in gillnets is lower Lake Sharp, tail race is upper. If you remember back 2018, 2019, high runoff years, there's a lot of water in the system. We actually had a lot of water coming through the dam. What was going on there is those fish were moving up into that tail race, so they weren't in the lower end of the reservoir anymore. They're moving up to that upper end, attracted by water flow and entrainment of food fish coming through. And without having that survey, we would have been thinking that our gillnet, our walleye population was going down in Lake Sharp, when in reality it was just redistributed. In 2020 to 2022, we didn't do the scuba survey. COVID occurred, of course, and we were had certification, changing out staff with diver certification. 23 to 25, back on with scuba survey. You'll note those counts went back down, and then the lower chart, we're right back to average for gillnets, walleye and gillnets on the lower end. So just another piece of the puzzle we're putting together to help us monitor this population. Lake Sharp walleye condition. What this is how plump or skinny a walleye is. The larger the number over on the left-hand side, the plumper the walleye. On Lake Sharp, our condition is around 80 to 85. That's normal for our walleyes in Lake Sharp with the seasonal fish prey base. So the light blue hash marks, 10 to 15 inch walleyes, red is 15 to 20, the gold is greater than 20. You'll note that those larger than 20 inch walleyes, the condition drops and varies quite a bit in that lower end of the reservoir. This isn't unnormal. This is normal for this system. Like I said, we have seasonal food, prey fish available, and it really doesn't produce or grow big walleyes. Now, if you caught a walleye in the tail race where there's entrainment of food coming through, a bigger walleye probably would be a plump fish in the same reservoir, but lower end, no. Our bread and butter fish are 15 to 20 inch walleyes, so long term, for condition, this goes all the way back to 1997, are right at or just below the average mark. So everything's normal and healthy here. I have a metric that we look at for our walleyes, basically statewide. If we can achieve a 15 inch walleye by age 3, we consider that an acceptable or a good goal. So what we're looking at here on the left-hand side is the length of walleyes, right around that 15 inch, 14 inch year across the bottom. Basically, our growth rates are right on track. We don't track a 15 inch typically on Lake Sharp for growth for age 3, but usually varies between 14 and 15. Take home message, growth rates right in the acceptable target range. We do keep track of our fishing pressure, the number of anglers that are out there. Left-hand side, we've got the number of boat trips. This is May through August. From 2019 to 2025, you can see 2020, of course, the COVID peak, everybody was out fishing, drop down in pressure, which is probably more normal in that 22 to 23, right back up above average. A lot of folks are out targeting walleyes and or fishing on Lake Sharp. So right in the average range for what we'd expect for fishing pressure. Catch rates, this is for walleyes. Left-hand side, our long-term average for walleye catch rate on Lake Sharp is 1.2 walleyes per hour. To put this in perspective, the national average for a walleye fishery is around 0.35 walleyes per hour. Like I said, we really have something special with Lake Sharp. It is a walleye factory. It produces good year classes of walleyes, and anglers catch a lot of walleyes. And in 2024, we're just above average for our walleye catch rate. You'll note on the lower axis on the years, there's some circles there. There's some years missing. Starting in 2019, we started an alternate year when we were doing creel surveys, which is out talking to anglers. And that really was a metric that we started doing creel surveys in alternate years. One year we'd creel Lake Hawaii, the other alternate year Lake Sharp. So, and then COVID occurred in there. So long-term message here is our average catch rates are right on track for what we see on Lake Sharp, and they're good. Starting in 2017, we started a walleye tagging study. This was putting metal jaw tags on walleyes that were numbered. What this does is it allows us to get at what our walleye harvest or exploitation is. Another tool to help us track the fishery, the walleye fishery, and what kind of harvest. A fishery like this can sustain a harvest of 20 to 35% annually of the adult fish population. When we did this study from 2017 to 2020, we were below our expected harvest exploitation. So no impact to the adult fish population. We moved into acceptable harvest range in 21 and 22. Message here is fishing pressure we have in harvest is sustainable on the adult fish population we have in the system. And I'll note in 26, 27, we are starting a walleye tagging study again on this reservoir just to help us track the fishery, the walleye fishery. Oh, we'll switch gears, talk about paddlefish. Paddlefish originally declined when the dams were built. We did reintroduce these paddlefish back in 2015. And I really got to give the kudos to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service here at Gavin's Point National Fish Hatchery. They assist with the collection of the adults, the actual raising in the hatchery, hatching, feeding, and assistance with stocking. Without their assistance with this, we would not be pushing to reintroduce paddlefish back into the native range. We've stocked 17 to 44,000 juveniles annually since 2015. These stockings have been successful. We're seeing them in the Stilling Basin, which is right below the dam, the Tail Race, and then Hipple Lake, which is a backwater area off Lake Sharp. And we started collecting and tagging these fish using gill nets in 2022 to get a handle on the population. We increased our efforts to try to get our hands on and tag fish in 23 and 24, and we did tag fish. 2025, we doubled our efforts. We were really trying to get a handle on our paddlefish population to get a population estimate. But with that doubling in effort, we didn't double the number of paddlefish we were trying to catch, basically kind of giving an indication that we weren't finding a good way to successfully collect these fish. And then we were probably going to need some assistance. What we did find out is that these fish are healthy. They're growing. They're still, they're 36 inches is about the average size. And we measure paddlefish from the front of the eye to the fork of the tail. And they're around 14 and a half pounds. So they're small, but they're growing and they're healthy. So where are we going with this? You know, really the goal of our paddlefish in Lake Sharp is to eventually create a sport fishery. However, you know, like I lent to is we had a hard time getting our hands on paddlefish, even though we increased our efforts with gill netting. So starting in 2026, we're starting a study with SDSU. They're going to work with us to try to develop some strategies to find a better way to estimate our paddlefish population, whether it's collecting them with gill nets or using other forms of technology to estimate that population. They're also going to help us with assessing our age and growth and where our locations and timing of our paddlefish are for both our anglers, where we can expect to find them in the upper end of Lake Sharp, for both anglers and for us to monitor the population. So that's something neat and interesting to come. One slide update just on our zebra mussels on Lake Sharp. 2019, we first detected zebra mussels in Lake Sharp. We classified the entire reservoir as positive at that time. They were restricted to the lower end of the reservoir. However, this last July in 2025, we did find juveniles and adults in the upper portion of Lake Sharp, right up near the dam. Basically, it's just the message that, and we want to try to slow the spread of these by clean, drain, and drying our watercraft before we're moving anywhere else. So we have a lot of folks that fish Lake Sharp and then jump to another water body, sometimes within the same day to fish. So with that, just a quick summary wrap up. Our overall walleye abundance, just below average. 25% of our walleyes are above the 15-inch minimum length limit in September, but we've got more to replace them coming up for this next fishing season. Our walleye condition is stable. Our growth is just below our target of 15 inches by age 3. We've got average fishing pressure catch rates. Our paddlefish stockings are working. Fish are healthy and growing. We're starting a new study in 26, get a better handle on our population. And we've got zebra mussels have essentially moved reservoir wide on Lake Sharp. So just a clean drain and dry. Yes, with that, I take any questions.
Very good. Questions from the commission and or comments? I do have a couple of questions for you, Bob.
Yeah.
When you talked about the walleye tagging, how often or how did it work? Was there a website or a phone number that anglers could reach out to you?
Madam Chair, that's a great question. And this is where we ask for help from the public. Once we tag these fish, we need input back. So we do have a website on the South Dakota Game, Fish, and Parks webpage where if they catch a tagged walleye, they can report that. It's a simple entry form, and they will be contacted with information about the fish that they caught, where it was tagged, when it was tagged.
Okay.
and it provides us information to manage that fishery.
So what did you find in terms of engagement? Did you get folks that were signing up or logging on and providing info?
We do. We do. We get a great response. Folks that catch a tagged walleye, it's almost considered like a trophy. And we do put a portion of those tags as reward tags to help us tease out reporting rates. So a portion of those fish did have a $100 reward tag that if they caught it, it says reward on the tag. If they report it and can validate it with a picture of that reward tag, they receive that $100 reward. But what that helps us from a tagging project helps us tease out non-reporting rates too for fish that aren't rewards, that just have a number on them.
Okay. And then my other question about the public, the Creel survey, did you find that folks were willing to share information there?
They are. We've basically done Creel surveys going back 30 years on these reservoirs. Most anglers have been through a Creel survey before, and they're very acceptable. They know that what the information they're providing us is helping us manage this fishery. So, yeah, very receptive.
Okay. Additional questions from the commissioner?
Madam Chair.
Commissioner Kirkaby.
Commissioner Kirkaby, do you use certified divers you have on staff, or do you contract that out for the school survey?
Madam through the Chair. Yeah, that's a great question. We actually have certified divers that are on staff. Some of our biologists, my fellow biologists, are certified divers. Yeah, through the state.
Very good. Additional questions, comments?
Madam Chair, I just had one comment and question, I guess. First off, Bob, thank you for the great report. Just a question on how do we sample year one age walleyes? I mean, obviously they don't necessarily get caught in the gill net, but how do we determine the hatch that year? Do we have a way to do that?
Through the Chair. That's a great question. In the past, what we used to do is we would do a electrofishing surveys, where we do fall electrofishing and look at what kind of reproduction we have. We found those very highly variable. At this point now, we just look for, we're not actually looking at our age zeros, is what we would call them.
Yeah.
We're waiting until they recruit to our gear. So yeah, there's a little bit of a window that we're not seeing that first year of those age zeros in our gill nets because the mesh is too big to catch them.
Yeah.
However, we've managed Lake Sharp long enough that I'd say 3 out of 4 years we get good natural reproduction. So we're comfortable managing that way.
The reason I ask, you know, we don't stock Lake Sharp. We didn't necessarily mention that. It's one of the only fisheries we don't really stock. There's a lot of walleye.
So you're right. You're right.
It's an amazing fishery for natural reproduction.
It is. It is. Yeah, you are absolutely correct. It's one of the, you know, I guess we like to term it as we try to kind of hands off our management. We've never stocked walleyes on Lake Sharp. It really does a lot of its management on its own. A unique resource.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great report. Thank you very much.
You bet.